This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, I'm Kelly, and I'm incredibly proud to be an Over the Influence community member. When I became a member, I got a double dose of the podcast every week, now that I had access to the premium pod, and I also loved the in-person Zoom calls, basically just getting to know like-minded people. Personally, it's been just over a year since I changed my relationship with alcohol, and I've honestly never felt better. My head is clearer, my relationships with friends and family members are better, and overall in life I just have way more energy. Thankfully, I never had a rock bottom, but Over the Influence made me realise I didn't need one. It's never too late to change for the better. So thanks for being there for me, OTI, and keep up the great work.
So if you want to join us, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk. Well, isn't this exciting? We weren't supposed to be here today in January in lockdown. We were saving ourselves until the spring to bring you series 3 of Over the Influence. But here in the UK, after last year, we thought it probably couldn't get any worse. However, we are back in lockdown, in full lockdown in the UK. Also, right at the beginning of what for many people would have been dry January. We've seen it go one of two ways. Some people are continuing with dry January, others are really, really struggling, and lockdown has caused a lot of people to go, you know what, I'm throwing in the towel. So here we are. We want to talk to you about this. We want to help you through it. We want to have a chat about the conversations that it brings up. If you are just joining us for the first time, first of all, thank you. Welcome to Over the Influence. It's hosted by myself and Freddie. We've got our producer, Background Ben, who will tell you more about him in just a moment. My name is Sharon Hartley. I am from the northwest of England, 47, which is horrific. 47 years old, 3 kids, used to be a daily drinker, ramped it up at the weekends. I am now really proud of the fact I am 850 odd days alcohol free. Best thing I've ever done. The second best thing I've ever done is this podcast with these two fabulous gentlemen. I'm not sure about that. Freddie, introduce yourself.
Hello, everybody. I'm Freddie Bennett. I'm 38. I had to think about that because I'm almost 39. I live in the northwest of the UK. I was very much that heavy drinking, very, very heavy partying, work hard, play hard, corporate worker for over 20 years. But then I decided to take a break from alcohol to see what I would really be capable of. Ran across the Sahara Desert, broke a few world records, did a few other cool things, wrote a book that's coming out in a few months' time. And yeah, now I'm celebrating almost 2 years alcohol-free. It's a crazy time right now, as you say, Shazza. There's a lot going on around the world, but I'm very happy to be back talking to you both again, speaking to our amazing audience on the world's fastest growing, probably, alcohol-free podcast. And I can't wait to get on with this episode.
Fantastic. That is brilliant. Also with us is Ben Anderson. He used to be called Background Ben. I mean, I do like that name, but I never liked him being in the background. And as the episodes have grown, as our series have got bigger, our audience has got bigger, Ben's moved through to the foreground. And it's been a glorious, glorious journey. And the reason it has been so fabulous is that Ben is just celebrating 6 months alcohol free, which
amazing.
Is just... Big up yourself, Ben.
Well done, Ben.
Oh, thank you very much. I never, ever thought that I would say that. I was talking to my girlfriend, Jen, the other day about dry January. And I remember a couple of years ago, I tried to do dry January and I made it until, well, I told her the 4th, but it was the 3rd.
Oh, God.
How mad is that? You know, I'm now 6 months alcohol free, but even 3 days was a struggle. But it is, you know, it's one of those things, isn't it, where we didn't really want to be here today, but with... lockdowns with people. I'm not sure about you guys, but my Twitter feed on Tuesday night when Boris announced that we were going back into full nationwide lockdown again, I mean, it's, you know, it's a lot of people making the same gag. It's not a very good joke, but the sentiment's there, isn't it? Everyone just went, dry January, over.
Mm. It's true. And yeah, there's, I know we've talked before on the podcast about, you know, trying to motivate yourself to do something different and it never being the perfect time to start an alcohol-free journey. But I think, yeah, it is a tricky time. And what I would say is, if anyone's listening to this that hasn't had quite a dry January as they would have hoped, if it's been a slightly damp or a slightly wet January, then that's okay. Like, you know, I think usually my dry January would finish about 18 hours into the new year. And we've all been there. These things will happen. But the important thing is what you do next. It's, do you turn around and take action and say, I'm going to change my behaviours, I'm going to try and do something different and get back on the wagon as such, because everyone can do that. It's not about what you've done, it's about the future and what you're going to do next.
You know, talking about dry January, full disclosure, hands up, I never even did one. I couldn't do it because I used to do Sober October. So that was my month of abstinence and I would spend the entire month white knuckling, screaming and shouting about everything I was being denied, which was alcohol. And then I would kick it off again in November, because November is my birthday month as well. So obviously I'm going to drink through my entire birthday month. I would drink probably all November's consumption and October's too, fall through into December, the party season, and then feel so shit, hungover, tired, ruined from November and December, I would get to January and say, I can't even be arsed attempting dry January, because it's a difficult month anyway, isn't it? Without having to give up alcohol. So if people have started and struggled, we've been where you are. We've absolutely been there, done that, and spewed down the t-shirt. However, we are here to hopefully talk to you about the flip side of that and let you know that it absolutely can be done. One of my favourite sayings, I'm turning into Freddie already, actually. It's very early in the episode. One of my favourite sayings is, take those excuses that you find to drink, be it a stressful day, homeschooling the kids, I'm knackered, it's a lockdown, and turn them into your reasons not to.
You know what, Shaz, you're right. In terms of being in lockdown, I think looking back for me last year, I was absolutely soaked in booze for the first one.
Yeah.
Came out of it feeling terrible. For the second lockdown, was alcohol free.
Yeah.
And used it as a time where I wasn't going to the pub, wasn't doing this, wasn't invited to weddings, this, that and the other big events, and really built up a good number of days. And you know what? The thought didn't even cross my mind when Boris announced lockdown 3 that I'd have a drink again. It was absolutely, I'm not going to do it. And of course, we've been doing these Zoom motivation classes with Over the Influence, haven't we? Where we launched them just before Christmas. And the idea is that, you know, our listeners, you lot, join us on Zoom in groups of four. And we basically talk about our alcohol-free journeys. And it's been brilliant to see so many fresh-faced, alcohol-free people coming back in the new year and getting involved in the sessions this week. And Shaz, is that what we're going to talk about today in the episode? Some of the kind of conversations and topics that have come up from our calls this week?
Yeah, and I think talking to those groups, and it has been brilliant that they've all come back on the other side of Christmas and New Year. And I think for the majority of them, it's the first time that they've experienced an alcohol-free Christmas and New Year. So what's happened is these people have come out on the other side of it and they've all gone, yeah, all right, that was a wobbly moment. That was a bit difficult cooking Christmas dinner. I normally did this on Christmas Eve, but they didn't pick up a drink. So that's the hard bit, is not picking up the drink. And what has happened, and we talked about this in the group last night, for each day that you nail alcohol-free, particularly if it's a significant time of celebration like Christmas and New Year, it bolsters your alcohol-free superpowers. So when lockdown came literally less than a week later, and, you know, we are put down in lockdown in the UK now for, well, weeks, months. You know, it's looking like February, March time. The same people that have managed to get through Christmas and New Year and enjoyed it as well, they've gone, actually, I've done that. I can now do this. And it was so positive and so exciting to hear that positivity, because, you know, if you can get through the shit show that was 2020, you can get through your first Christmas and New Year alcohol free, you can get through lockdown alcohol free. And, you know, as you just said there, Ben, you drank through the first one. Wasn't very pleasant, was it? And now you're like, actually, I am feeling a damn sight stronger and I can cope much better with the shit that's thrown our way with this coronavirus situation.
Absolutely. I mean, Freddie, was it your second alcohol-free Christmas?
Yeah, it was. And it was a tough one, at the start at least. Anyway, I mean, I had that thing, you know, like Christmas Day, you get woken up by the kids at stupid o'clock and you kind of, I felt hungover just because I was so tired, and you're kind of like staggering around like a zombie covered in broken wrapping paper. And yeah, you know, for the first couple of hours, I was like, you know what, I could really just go to the fridge and get a beer out now and just treat myself when it's Christmas. But then, like any situation that I say, whether it's, you know, a social gathering back when those things used to happen, or, you know, or Christmas or New Year's Eve, just white knuckle it if you have to. Just get through those first couple of hours. And then I didn't really think about it again after that. And I just ate literally my body weight in chocolate instead. And I was like, cake, no problem. Chocolate, no problem. Yep, I'll have extra double meat for me, which is always a good day. And then, yeah, as long as I'm not drinking, I just let myself do whatever the hell I want. And then same for New Year's Eve. And even how tough it was at times, and it wasn't perfectly easy, but nothing beats that feeling of Boxing Day or New Year's Day.
Yeah.
Waking up without a hangover. And I think it doesn't have to be, you know, say like a Christmas Day or a New Year's Day. Still on Sundays, I'm still like, yeah, this feels quite nice, not with a hangover. So, yeah, people don't have to say, right, you know, next Christmas I'll do the whole alcohol-free thing. Anyone can start today. And I guarantee that first morning, or when you've got through that first challenging point, it just makes you feel like a superhero. And as you say, Shazza, you know, if you got through 2020, even if you fell off the wagon a couple of times, we all are here now in 2021. We got through the shit show that was 2020. If we can get through that, we can get through anything. And then we can build upon things. You can build up a bigger, you know, number of alcohol-free days. And it is all possible.
So it is an absolute treat to be back in January 2021. It's just brilliant to be chatting with Freddie and Ben. Most importantly, talking to you. We are in lockdown and we are still continuing our Zoom sessions, which are just fantastic. These are a motivational kick up the backside, a motivational shot in the arm should you need one on your alcohol-free journey. And we were asking the members of our Zoom groups, what would help them right now to be talking about? What would help you? What would you benefit from? And the things that came up were talking about your feelings, not being numbed with alcohol anymore, and you've got to feel all the feels, which is what the majority of us are going through now, right now with lockdown. We are going to talk about momentum, about your little wins, about building up your alcohol-free days and how it sort of bolsters your powers for the big events that you might be looking forward to, fingers crossed, later this year. And the other thing is about looking forward, is about having events or rewards or something to look forward to. And a big thing that came across from the Zooms, which in itself is one of these things, is connectivity, is about finding your sober tribe, about finding those people who are on the same journey as you, who in the past, hands up, I have said this, why would I talk to those boring people? Why would I want to be part of this sober group? Oh my word, without it, without the sober connections that I have found in particular, Ben, Freddie, there's two of them right here. No way would I still be doing what I'm doing. So there's so much to talk about, as you can tell, because I haven't shut up wanging on again. So let's get cracking. Ben and Freddie, would you like to get a word in edgeways?
I'm just enjoying the journey, Shazza.
Fine by me.
I've missed your soothing voice.
Soothing voice?
Yeah.
Oh, Ben, do your impression. You've
carry
not done
us,
it.
Carry us, Shaz. Do you know what? My impression? Oh, no, I can't.
Go on. Please do.
I'm alcohol-free and it's great. It's fantastic.
So I I talk about feeling it quite a lot, Shazza, and I talk about feeling it, I think about feeling it, and I try to feel it every single day, if not many times a day. And what I'm obviously talking about is that real connection with our loved ones, our friends, people we're talking to on Zoom, just like I'm speaking to you now. And in terms of every new event and experience, I know we like to tell it how it is on Over the Influence, so I'm not going to get too away with the fairies and everything. But to take it a little bit deeper, even if I may, and you know, I like feeling it, but also I like feeling it deep. Not only am I feeling others, but I'm also feeling myself. And there is actually a point to what I'm saying. This is like the most serious I've ever tried to be.
Hello.
In terms of feeling myself, but in terms of who am I, what am I wanting to achieve this year, what actually do I want from the weekend, from the week, from 2021, from my life, and not being surrounded by that haze of alcohol and tiredness and regret and, oh shit, what did I do last night, and oh, I don't want to check my phone, and all those different things. Removing all of that alcohol-fueled crap allows me to look in the mirror and say, right, actually, what do you want to do with this life? What do you want to achieve? Who do you want to be?
That almost sounded
quite philosophical. Oh,
Freddie.
What's interesting for me is, having been drinking for the first lockdown, obviously you guys didn't do that because you were already kind of well into your alcohol-free journeys.
Yeah.
The difference for me drinking in the first one and now approaching the third one, I can't believe we're on the third one, but approaching the third one, you know, with 6 months alcohol-free life behind me, what's really interesting, the kind of natural reaction is that you want to escape. When the news around you is bad all the time, as it constantly has been for as long as we can remember, it's very easy to use alcohol to escape what's happening around you. I think what's more important for me this time, being alcohol free, is that I'm not saying constantly have Sky News on and, you know, check every alert that comes through to your phone, but I mean understanding that it's okay to feel crap and to wake up and feel a bit down in the dumps. But to actually kind of process that and then look at what's happening around you, and to feel it and then decide what I'm going to do about it, if you know what I mean. I didn't have that process in lockdown one. I woke up, I felt crap. I started looking at the clock going, I can have a beer at lunchtime because we're in lockdown. Whereas actually, it feels like a much healthier approach now to be able to go, you know what? If you feel crap, feel it.
Absolutely.
You know, let yourself feel crap. And it's something that you can't do when you're drinking, can you? Because you start drinking, and yet you do get that kind of temporary escape before it comes back and bites you on the arse again the next morning.
It is a temporary escape, as you talked about there. And as you said, I've not drunk through any of the lockdowns because I've started my sober journey, God, 2018. So I haven't drunk throughout any of it. But all alcohol does is sort of delays the inevitable. Yeah, if you're feeling shit for whatever reason, you know, let's talk about now homeschooling. People are being furloughed. People are losing their jobs. People are scared. People are struggling. When you drink, all it does, yes, it numbs it out for a short period of time. Yet when you wake up tomorrow feeling like shit, none of it's gone away. It's all still there. And so going back to what you said, Ben, about removing alcohol, for me, when I removed it, what I thought was amazing was feeling the clarity of absolutely everything. I've mentioned before on previous episodes that I used to sort of brag, I don't get hangovers. I drank daily. I drank every day, but I would say I didn't get a hangover. Well, that's because I lived in a permanent fog. You know, if you drink every day, you are under par every single day without realizing it. And until that was removed and that fog lifted, that's when I started to realize, oh, this feels really quite good. I really do like this fresh feeling. And it gave me much more confidence. I liked who I was underneath all that bullshit, extrovert, loudmouth, drunk, village idiot. It's all gone away. I was never that person anyway. It was just sort of clouded underneath this alcohol. And then, yeah, once you remove it and you are living life in, I say glorious technicolor, it's not always glorious technicolor. It doesn't remove the problems, removing alcohol, but what it does give you is that clarity and the ability to deal with all the shit that still comes your way. But I just think you are so much better prepared and armed once you've removed alcohol, and it makes you braver and stronger. But until you take those first steps and start doing it, it's really difficult to realise that, I think, sometimes, Freddie, isn't it?
No, I think so. I think you both made a great point in a much less slutty way than I was trying to do. but it's that whole thing of actually, it's okay to not feel okay. And it's a weird way to say it, but I certainly, when I was trying to stop drinking, and you know, you'd get a few days together or a few weeks, and then it would all fall apart. And it's not a thing that I'm particularly proud of, but I used to get frustrated because I'd go onto social media or look at any of a lot of the sober places, and I'd see everyone there looking so happy, so smiling, and they'd say, "Oh, this is so wonderful, life is just amazing," and I'd be like, "Well, great. Well done. I'm glad everything's so bloody wonderful for you. It's not for me, so I'm just going to go and have a drink." And I think I don't want to give the misconception that we can feel all these wonderful things with being alcohol free, because it is absolutely 100% amazing and awesome, and you feel so much more quietly confident and happier and prouder. But also, it's really important to say that there will still be days when you don't feel great, when you feel like you don't want to talk to anyone or you want to hide under the covers, especially at the moment. And as you said, Ben, it's about feeling that as well and recognising it's okay. It doesn't always have to be, you know, like rainbows and unicorns. If it's a bad day or a bad week or even a bad month or a whole bad lockdown, that's all right, but it doesn't mean that you have to just go back to the old habits and pick up a drink. Sometimes I think we have to look back to see how everything fits together. And I think hopefully for a lot of people, they can see if they could change their relationship in alcohol in the worst time that modern humanity is facing, then that will just make them feel so amazing. And it will give them that long-term strength, even if in the short term, there are bumps along the way.
We've been talking about this, Freddie, in our Zoom groups with the people that have got involved, sharing the stories. And one of the recurring themes is that, you know what, if you can tackle this lockdown and this pandemic alcohol free, then you're a frigging hero. It's so hard to navigate life at the best of times, isn't it? Throw in a pandemic, throw in a Christmas and New Year where you can't see your loved ones and your friends and family as you normally would. To do that alcohol free, or to even be considering your relationship with alcohol, it might not even be alcohol free, it might be cutting right down. But I think as soon as you do it, and the sooner you get into it, and if you pick up dry January again, you know, if you ballsed it when Boris made his announcement and you thought, sod it, I'm going to have a drink, you can start again. There's no problem with doing that. And you don't
have to wait until sober October.
Don't do what I used to do. Yeah. Do not do that. It was a recipe.
I gave up booze on the 6th of July because it happened to be the day. Freddie, yours was the, hang on, I'm going to remember this. I'm going to dig into the memory banks. The 8th of March.
Very good.
Wow. Yeah, 8th of March. How do you remember that, Ben?
Nice.
Because me and Freddie did a podcast together yesterday where he said it. And I remember, so I haven't had to remember it from very long ago.
There's
sorry,
me.
Shaz. We were cheating on you.
Absolutely terrible. So go on then. What was my start date? Can you remember?
Yours was November.
Nope.
Bollocks.
September.
No. Oh, sorry, Freddie. Yes, it was. I apologise.
Mine the 24th.
No, it was about the 3rd or 4th that it was the day the kids went back.
That's my next guess.
You're pathetic. Rubbish. Have you not listened to anything over these last episodes? No, I started in September, and it was the Monday, the first Monday in September 2018 when the kids went back to school, having had 6 weeks of drinking. not just 6 weeks, about 46 years, but the 6 weeks ramped up because of the kids being off school. But again, it comes back to that point I was making earlier. That was just another excuse. Oh, the kids are off. You know, now we've got the kids are at home being homeschooled. It's 1 o'clock. And I've got to say that my social media feed from the beginning of this week, it was all the bloody mummy wine juice memes. It was the Boris made me do it, the homeschooling made me do it, and I was that person for so many years. And to be on the other side of it now, I just want to say, you can do it. You don't have to use these situations as your excuses, you know, to drink. You can turn them into your reasons not to, and you'll never regret it. I know I get quite excited, but you won't, you'll never ever regret it. going to take a quick break from this fabulous episode of Over the Influence. We do hope you are enjoying it. In fact, if you are, if you wouldn't mind giving us a review on your podcast provider, that would be much appreciated. Thank you kindly. We get so much feedback from our members who have joined our online community. It's just an incredible place, a really friendly, alcohol-free corner of the internet, as we call it. There are many, many aspects to the community which are just brilliant. We host monthly masterclasses. We've got forums where we can share your wins and celebrate your milestones. We've got weekly blogs that are updated, sharing stories of alcohol-free inspiration. And as well, within the community, we've got a fabulous little chat feature. It's a bit like WhatsApp, a messenger, except you don't have to give your personal contact details. You can just contact fellow members, direct people that are on your wavelength. Again, it's about support, it's about connection, it's about celebration, and it's about having a laugh. It's brilliant. If you would like further information about what we do at Over the Influence, just have a look at the website, overtheinfluence.co.uk. And if you would like us to answer any questions at all, do not hesitate to drop us an email, otihq@overtheinfluence.co.uk. Okay, let's get back to the episodes. So we are in full lockdown in the UK, and we really do understand that for many people, just for everybody, it's bloody difficult. Whether you're drinking or not, you know, it is really, really difficult. But one thing that's become apparent chatting to the guys that are in our Zoom groups is that actually you can flip this, because now we are in lockdown, you can't go to the pub, you can't go to the wine bar, you can't eat out and have a nice meal with wine. You are pretty much, well, we're told to stay at home right now, aren't we? So for me, if I was starting now this alcohol-free journey, I'd be really relieved that I wouldn't have to navigate the social calendar of worrying about house parties and invites out. Because when I started doing this, like I said, two and a bit years ago, God, there was so much on. There was a wedding, there was a christening, my son's 18th, my birthday, there was a house party. And I'm thinking, oh my God. Now, as we speak this minute, we're in lockdown and that is all taken away. So all you have to worry about is yourself at home. A huge chunk of potential problems have been removed, haven't they?
No, I totally agree, Shaz. And it's, we do have an opportunity here if we choose to take it to really build some momentum. And I took a bit of a weird approach. I can't remember if it was this lockdown or lockdown two, or who knows which lockdown it was. But I'm generally a fairly happy-go-lucky guy. I'm generally a fairly nice chap. But then I started to get angry. And that's how I built my momentum. And I started to get angry at the world. But I thought I could use that anger. And I thought, I won't say that word, but flipping COVID. And it's taken so much from us. It's ruined our holidays. It's taken away our weddings, our birthday parties, our funerals in some cases. It's turned our lives upside down. It's taken so bloody much from us. And I said, it's not going to take my sobriety. So you can do this. You can do that to me. You can cancel my holidays. You can lock me in my house. You can cancel my races. You can ruin my job. You can mess up my business. You can do all these things. But you can't take this from me. And I'm going to use that momentum and that anger and that one thing that I can control, which is my actions, and say, no, you're not going to have this. I'm going to keep this for me, and you're not having any of it. And that's how I built up the momentum in this little shitty part of life. Whew.
Blimey, he's angry, isn't he?
He's very angry. Ooh. I've never seen him that angry.
It does feel good. Lighter now. And so the normal, slightly camp service is resumed now. Yeah,
back in the room.
But I do think, you know, sometimes it doesn't have to be a battle. Or, you know, if you're going to make it a battle, make it a battle of your choosing. And there's nothing wrong with getting angry sometimes and build up that tiny part of momentum. It's like a train, and yeah, when the train leaves a station, it's going a bit slowly, and if you want the train to stop, then you can make it stop relatively easy. Once you're a few miles down the track, once you've built up that speed and that momentum and you're a speeding sober bullet, then nothing can stop you, and that's where we can all get to.
Freddie, you've got me really excited now. Oh, you fired
amazing.
Me up no
that's
end
lovely.
With that.
I can just turn it on and turn it off as you know
I really
as we like.
I love it, Freddie. I love it. We know you can. talking about momentum and anger, I remember when I started out doing this, I got, you'll never do it. You'll not get past the first weekend. You'll not do 48 hours, never mind 48 days, 48 weeks. I thought, right, hold my wine. Watch me. Watch me go. Here we go. And for every single difficult occasion, night out, whatever it is, right now it's lockdown. If for every day that you bank, every day that you don't drink, and in some cases, every hour that you've successfully not picked up a drink and you've got through the day, you will not wake up tomorrow thinking, oh my God, I wish I'd drunk last night. You've banked it. You've done it. You've nailed it. And it makes you stronger for the next day and stronger for the next day. And I look at where we are all now on our various different stages of the journey, and not one of us, not one of us has got any regrets about not drinking. No. Yes, it's difficult sometimes. Yes, you think, oh, I could crack a wine, but you don't. You choose not to. And I swear to God, it does give you that more alcohol-free superpowers, I call them, for next time. So, you know, give yourself a break. Just don't drink today. If your choice is, you know, you want to nail alcohol-free life, my advice is don't pick up that first drink today. Just do it. Crack on, because it does get better and better and better.
And it gets easier.
It does, you know, get
easier.
I'm
6 months in there. Like, I've got to be honest with you guys. I am a bit nervous about, you know, I haven't said this yet. Now I'm alcohol free. I have to use the word journey. I started my alcohol free journey.
I love it.
Last year, when the world had been turned on its head. And there's a slight nervousness about when life is back to normal, in the sense of, you know, the pubs are open, you're going down the villa, everyone's allowed back into the stands again, and you can have a beer at half time. The weddings, there are elements of going back to normal that I'm nervous about. But I have to say, it is amazing. And I didn't quite believe this when I started off. I thought this is what people just tell you to try and help you get through it. But it really does get easier every week. Like, yeah. I was a bit skeptical about, you know, people counting days and stuff like that. I didn't need to do that. Actually, what I've realised, I've started off by counting the weeks and months. Actually, now it's quite comforting to go, I'm 184 days. Because 184 is a really big number.
It's massive.
So when you kind of keep going and you realise, you go, hang on, I've done this 184 times now.
Yeah.
So I can do it again today. It is just a case of keeping on going, isn't it?
And the longer you go and the more those numbers rack up, you become less inclined to go back to number one or number two or number three. You know, keep going. And one thing we really pride ourselves on Over the Influence is just being bloody honest with you. You know, I know me in particular, I sing really loudly about sober life being life-changing. You find out who you are. It's the real you. It's glorious Technicolor. It's living life in HD. Yes, there are some shitty days. No, it's not always easy. But dear God, it's always worth it. And we really do believe, you know, in sharing with you honestly about what it's like. And what is brilliant is Ben may have been a little bit skeptical at the start, and now you're knowing that what we said, Ben, was true, because you're experiencing it for yourself 6 months in.
I'm on a journey.
He's on a journey.
An alcohol-free journey.
You've got to say like that. You've got to say journey.
I'm on a journey.
What's been really important for me, and I think this is an absolute must, it's an essential. When you set out on your alcohol-free journey, you do feel like you're depriving yourself in the beginning. So I think it's really important to reward yourself along the way, which is something that I did. All the money saved on the alcohol, it's been spent on other lovely things. I remember when I hit a year, I booked a night on my own with nobody else, a really swanky health spa in the Lake District. Spent a fortune, you know, all the money I'd saved on not drinking, but it was a treat just for me. When I hit, we'll say, like a 200 day or a 300 day or a 333 or something like that, nice figures, posh hairdo, get your nails done, something girly, treats things like that. And, you know, I can tell, show me your nails, Freddie, show me your nails. So I realise I'm talking from quite a girly perspective there about treating yourself, but I do think it's dead important to do it. So I did it loads of times.
In terms of talking from that very manly, macho, red-blooded man perspective, I'll pass over to Ben.
No, you know what? It's something that I haven't really thought about yet. I mean, it is amazing, though. Like, the bank account is drastically different. I know, I'm not made of money. At the same time, I look at it now and you go, oh, okay, it's not... I mean, obviously, we're not doing other things. Yeah. You know, when you're locked down, you're not doing things. But booze is so expensive. It's so expensive. And then, if I'm drinking, that means I'll buy a pack of fags as well. And they're really expensive.
Yeah.
You know, it's just... It is... One of the things that came up in the groups this week, like loads of people said this, didn't they, about the importance of rewarding yourself. But what I thought was really interesting is that people weren't just talking about rewarding themselves with things and kind of, you know, the monetary, you know, I'm going to buy this or whatever. People were saying, you know, like the break thing's a really good idea. Obviously, when we can book somewhere again, that's something to look forward to, isn't it? And it's a really nice goal, like to book something in the future that you know is lovely and it's alcohol free. That will, you know, helps motivation wise keep going to that. I think that's a great idea. Obviously, our groups are private, they're confidential, so I won't say who this is. But one of the women said that she now rewards herself by, because she's got so much more time now that, you know, she's alcohol free. People are doing all sorts of new activities
as well.
Oh,
brilliant.
I mean, what's the one this week? It was someone... forest bathing came up this week, didn't it, Shaz?
I could just see us doing that, you know? Us three.
Well, yeah, we're not... It sounds a bit naughty to me, but Freddie, have you heard about this forest bathing?
Oh, obviously, Ben. Obviously.
But the idea is that you basically... It's kind of based around mindfulness, isn't it? But, you know, that nature has all these kind of... I think it's an Andy Ramage thing we had on Series 2. But nature is full of these kind of rewarding properties. If you just go and literally, you know, spend time in nature quietly, it's almost meditative, isn't it? But this is what forest bathing is. You go to the middle of a forest and you just sit and take it all in. And actually, it's those rewards as well that come with being alcohol-free. Because, you know... I used to hate going to bed. I'd always want to be partying until whatever time. And then I used to hate getting up in the morning. It almost annoys Jem that I spring out of bed now. Like, oh, it's Saturday. What are we doing? She's like, 7 o'clock. Go back to sleep. But it's, I think rewarding yourself with those kind of things that don't cost money as well is really important.
I think it is. And I think what you've highlighted there as well is when you tell people that you are going on a sober journey, oh, boring. You're boring. Life is going to be boring. I found, and chatting to some of the people in these groups, and you two as well, life has never been less boring because it makes you do crazy shit when you're not drinking. Because for me, I wanted to fill a gap where I'd be drinking, I wanted to do something different. Last summer, I took up bloody paddleboarding. It was ridiculous. Me in a wetsuit on Windermere at 7 a.m. on a paddleboard with a fellow sober friend. It was one of the best Sunday mornings ever. I would not have done something like that had I been drinking. So far from sobriety being boring, I think it makes you do bonkers stuff. Freddie is the bloody king.
And I say that, you know, it is tough sometimes as well, and it links back to everything about a lockdown situation. I mean, yeah, in a month's time, I was supposed to be running across the Arctic, and that was a massive alcohol-free thing to look forward to. You know, just like, just get out there, relax, run 200 miles across the frozen Arctic and then just go home again. I thought I'd be really mindful. Yeah. And obviously that got cancelled. And then you have to think again, so, okay, my reward that I set for myself didn't happen, but there's still so many things we can go out there. We can bathe in the forests. We can just, you know, like I read a book and I like reading, but I never have time. But then I was like, you know, if I tell you what is boring, it's lying in bed every single Sunday with your head under the covers, hating yourself, being too scared to check your phone, waiting for the room to stop spinning. Do that every Sunday for 10, 20, 30 years. And that's what boring is. Going out and experiencing some nature, that could never, ever get boring. Can I just clarify one thing? I always thought forest bathing was like getting your kit off and finding a bit of water in the forest and like paddling around in it. Is it not?
Or
do you mean like
bad?
Bathing in nature, like, you know, taking in the sounds and the trees? Oh, right.
Exactly. I mean, if you want to get your kit off, I'm not going to stop you, but I probably won't come with you on the next trip. Let's put it that way.
I mean, he struggles to find his top most days anyway, so...
That's probably why I'm not allowed back in the local park then. But now I know what forest bathing is. I'm going to, when I'm allowed to, with lockdown regulations, I am going to get up to my neck in my local forest and just... I'm just going to bathe in it. I'm going to hoover it up both nostrils, and I can't wait.
And talking about these crazy things, one thing I found... And if I could give you one top tip, one nugget of information or a suggestion, it is make sober connections. Again, we've talked about the Zoom calls quite a lot during this episode, but they're so important to us, and to hear from the people that are taking part and to be able to share this with you is what we want to do. Just about everybody we've spoken to have said that they are so surprised but get so much from connections with people like us through the podcast, other podcasts out there, Instagram accounts, sober accounts, sober books, anything like that, sober groups, whatever it might be. It can feel like a shitty lonely journey at times, particularly when you're starting out. I still struggle with it now, to be honest. And if I hadn't made sober friends and new friends and done crazy shit on my own to meet these new people who are feeling exactly like you and me, I don't think I would have been as successful doing this as I have been. So throw yourself in. Get up to your neck in all the sobriety connections, all the sober tools. I'm not calling us sober tools, by the way. But it's so important, and it means so much. And I couldn't do this without my sober buddies. I really couldn't.
But you know what? Not everybody has them. I'm the only one in my life doing the alcohol free.
You've got us.
No, yeah, you know. I mean, us. Yes, no, quite. But I mean, in terms of we met through. Well, me and Freddie, we knew each other a bit before, didn't we? But we've become solid friends through the alcohol free, through Over the Influence. But you know, like my mates. I can't go to the pub with the group of mates I would do in normal life.
Yeah.
And I'd be the only one at the table, alcohol free. You know, it's my family. No one else is. They're all very supportive, but they're not alcohol free. But I mean, you know, if you're like, you know, in a situation where you're the only person who's either thinking about or the only person doing this, please do join our Zoom groups. You know, they are fab. Like it's people from all over the world, but everyone's united with the same goal and the same aim. And it's really nice, you know, we have some groups where people are kind of a similar stage of their alcohol-free journey. other people, alcohol-free journey. Other groups, we've got, you know, this lady's over 1,000 days alcohol-free in one. She clocked over 1,000 days at Christmas.
Amazing.
And someone who's kind of 80 days. Mm. It's really interesting to do it. Just go to overtheinfluence.co.uk. You can find out more there. But please do go, because if you fancy just meeting like-minded people who are sober and
absolutely
fabulous, then overtheinfluence.co.uk.
We've been that excited to be back chatting to you. We've got carried away. We're running out of time, but it is so important that we mention a few names on the podcast and just say a big fat thank you for going to our website and throwing a few quid into the podcast pot. As you know, making podcasts, you can listen to them for free, but it does cost to make them. So anything you've chucked our way goes into the production, the marketing, a bit of equipment. So thank you, thank you, thank you from all of us. Davina says, I love your podcasts. They are brilliant. I love this one. Mia, a US expat in Singapore, using the podcast to help drum up the nerve to try Dry January. Just go for it, Mia. Jump in with both feet. John Cooper says, loving this. Great work. Kirsty has put some money in the pot and she says it's utterly brilliant. I've got to tell you this, Freddie and Ben, this really did make me laugh. According to Rebecca, we are, in inverted commas, us three, really,
cool.
Really cool. Did you get that?
Right. I like that. Yeah. They've been cool before.
Rebecca thinks we are very cool. She loves the tribe and she says it's really relatable. Ed Dove. Hello.
Yo,
Ed. How are you diddling? Really, really kind of you. How are you? He loves the banter and he loves the honesty. Cesar says that Over the Influence sets her up for the day. And just huge thank yous as well to Paula, David, Ian and Karen. We couldn't do this without you. We really, really appreciate your support. Thank you so much from the heart of our bottoms.
So that brings us to the end of this special episode. I don't know about you guys, but it was an absolute pleasure to record with you both again, to be able to talk to all of the listeners out there. And, you know, we've covered so much in terms of really being able to feel it and feel connected both with ourselves, our loved ones and the rest of the world, about building that unstoppable momentum and all those alcohol-free things that we have to look forward to, both at the moment and when life hopefully returns to some kind of normality. And look, I know it's tough right now. We all feel how tough it is. Just keep going, keep pushing forward. We're here to help you. We're always here to talk to you. We've got the Instagram page, we've got the Facebook page, we've got the website overtheinfluence.co.uk. Let's keep connected, let's keep talking. We can't wait to be back with you properly in the spring. We might have plenty of things to drop and some exciting news and some bombshells to drop in the spring. And maybe one or two of us might even be in different locations. Ooh. Oh, I do like a little tease. Ooh. Wait and see on that one. But yes, thank you all so much. As always, it has been the absolute pleasure of ours to be able to reach out to you all. And remember, just keep going and just get over the influence.
Hello, this is Ben from Over the Influence, and you're at the end of another episode of the world's favourite alcohol-free podcast. As you know, we've now got community members watching our podcast recordings. That's one of the benefits of being a community member, is that you can come on the podcast recording, watch us record it live, and of course, put your questions to the guest in our chat box. You can find out everything you need to know about joining our community at overtheinfluence.co.uk. But also, I wanted to quickly let you know, that's where you can also find Over the Influence merch. Yes, we've got Over the Influence t-shirts, we've got Over the Influence mugs, we've got community members who've been watching the recording tonight, drinking out of their OTI mug. Look, by buying something, you're supporting us and our mission here at Over the Influence, which is to encourage as many people as we possibly can to try giving up alcohol to see how it makes them feel. We ship all over the world. We sent stuff to the UK, of course. We sent it to Australia. We sent it to America. We sent them all across Europe. Look, that's it. I'm not going to bang on about it anymore. Go buy a t-shirt, go buy a mug. Overtheinfluence.co.uk. And thank you for listening. We'll see you again next week.